Blog Talk Radio.
Girl, Miss P, and we would like to just take the time to just say hello to our panel member today for the Intune View, and we're going to start with Miss Vic. How you doing tonight? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me, Miss P. My name is Miss Vic. I'm the founder and owner of A Mommy Spare Hand, and which is a professional concierge service, and I'm so thankful that I am a part of the panel. Very excited, very eager to talk with the panel members and the followers.
Yay. So, Ms. B?
Good evening, everyone. I'm Ms. B, originally from New York. I am the vice president of Brahma Models of Brahma Bowl Production and a photography booking agent of Qmati Photography. I'd like to thank everyone for letting me be a part of this discussion. So hello to the panelists.
Yes. Mr. King?
Good evening, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. Elated, ecstatic, and humbled. I am Al King, president, CEO, not president, CEO, Go Getters Publications. My first debut book is a non-fictional collage of my thoughts and perspectives, titled Let It Be Known, which is available now at www.thealking.view. Originally from New York City, located now in North Carolina. My businesses are stationed and positioned in North Carolina. So again, I'm happy to be here. I just am overwhelmed with energy. I'm ready to go. Thank you, Ms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, Ms. Regina Renee.
Hello, I'm Regina Renee, and I am an artist and DJ manager. I'm also a youth counselor at the Boys and Girls Club. I'm originally from Peoria, Illinois. I reside in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been here for 14 years, and I am very honored to be on this panel with these lovely ladies and this handsome gentleman, and I'm ready to get it going.
I know, that's right. So tonight we're going to be starting the show with Ms. Regina Renee, and your topic is holiday dating, the do's and adults.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of appropriate for this time of year. You know, you have a lot of people getting into relationships and dating around the holidays or already have been in relationships, and just kind of some do's and don'ts of, you know, holiday gift giving, things to do or not to do when you go to the Christmas parties and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited because, you know, I need some of these don'ts to be listed to me. So, please fill us in. Like, let's start with the do's.
Okay. You know, being in a relationship, you know, it's this time of year, it can be wonderful. But let's just say, you know, you're in a relationship. You just been, you know, dating for a few weeks. This is a don't, and I really, really agree with this one, is don't get your date or the person that you're dating for a couple of weeks a very, very lavish gift, you know, because that could actually send the wrong signal to that person. You know, I've been in a relationship, a dating situation where I was dating a couple of weeks, and you know, around the holidays, and you know, you got a $500 necklace. I think that's a little bit much, you know, to just be dating for a couple of weeks. So that's something that you don't want to do. Now, something that you do want to do if you've been dating for a few weeks is, you know, say you've been going, you know, you went out to dinner a couple of times, went bowling or whatever, and just in the conversation, you know, you've noticed that your date mentioned, you know, how much they like a certain artist or how much they like a certain, you know, celebrity or whatever, or a certain book that they wanted to read. You know, that could be something that you would, you know, get, because that would send the message that you've really been paying attention to that person. You know, you've listened to what they've been talking about while you were together. So that's something that you could think about doing is, you know, getting that special book or that special CD that they wanted, that they've been talking about. That's, you know, in the first few weeks of, you know, of dating. And then, you know, when it comes to, you know, dealing with the family, you know, you really don't want to bring your somebody that you're dating to your family's, you know, home for a Christmas dinner or, you know, or a Christmas Eve gathering or anything like that, because you've only been dating for a couple of weeks, and that also can send the wrong message too. You know, you don't want, I mean, because I know for me, myself, if I'm dating someone for a couple of weeks, I don't want to meet mom, I don't want to meet the sisters or anything like that. I mean, what do you guys feel about that?
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, this is Vic talking. I got married very young, so I never had a chance to date.
You've been dating for just a couple of weeks, you know?
Okay.
Not a very long time. Would you feel comfortable meeting the family?
I think it's too soon. I think it's too soon. It's another Christmas gathering, because that's a big family thing. That's
right.
I think it depends. I think it depends, because there is a such thing to me as love at first sight. I do believe in that.
Okay.
It just depends on, I guess, the chemistry between both parties. I would be quite honored if someone wanted to introduce me to their closest loved ones. I mean, it shows potential there. I mean, if it's the first day, no, totally not. But if it's a couple of weeks and, you know, the chemistry is definitely on point, and someone wanted to take me to, like, a Roscoe Jenkins cookout and meet Big Mama, and I would feel quite honored, to be quite honest. I mean, it just depends on the chemistry. It really does.
Okay.
And that individual.
What's your opinion, Mr. King? I'm curious to see from a male perception.
That's kind of touchy, because if it's at the embryonic stages like that, and it's so premature and early, what if your family, you bring this person around your family, and family likes the person, but then they don't turn out to be someone that you're really interested in? Let's say as time progresses to about 2 months, and we kind of get indebted to how our family may feel about a person. So I think it would set a wrong tone, an unexpected tone. So I don't think it's a good idea to bring a person around family that early. That's too much.
Yeah,
in my world, that's
kind of agree.
Too much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think in the first couple of weeks, I personally, you know, feel the same way that Mr. King feels. That's just a little bit too soon.
Yeah,
the
first couple of weeks. Yeah, I agree. The first couple of weeks for
sure. Yeah.
I mean, because I'm just now finding out your Social Security number, so. Yeah, first couple of weeks is too early.
You know, this day and time, you know, people move too fast anyway. A lot of speed.
Yeah.
People don't have any brakes. No filters, they don't pump their brakes for nothing. I've known people that within months they've moved the person into their apartment.
Mm.
You know, quick. So I've seen situations like that from afar. So people are moving too fast, and you know, in this day and time, 2012, you know, I can only imagine these things are happening right now. Someone, you know, been seeing someone for a week or two, and they sitting in their family house. Too much.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I think that's pretty intriguing statement you made, Mr. King.
And that brings to my other point with the social gatherings. If you were to happen to be out at a Christmas party, but it was it wasn't something that was intimate, but you were out, I would feel comfortable with someone introducing me, and we're still in the first couple of weeks stage, as, this is Regina versus this is my friend Regina. Mm. I mean, I just think that, again, it's too soon to even really put a title on what you're doing. Yes, you're dating, but I think I would feel a little bit more comfortable with, my date saying, this is Regina versus, this is my friend Regina. Or
let me ask you a question, Regina.
What do you know about a person in a week or two, in a few weeks, to actually introduce them? It's not too much that you can find out in a few weeks about a person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You guys are still getting to know each other. So get to know each other first before you have family members involved with your relationship right away.
I think the opinion will differ depending on age, too. Like what stage of life you're at.
Right, and I also think, too, like how much do you really know a person, although you've been with them for years?
That's true.
Exactly.
Very true statement. I would second that motion for real.
Yes.
So it's absolutely right. Like, I totally agree. Like, people need to pump their brakes sometimes because I'm one of those people, like, I like to speed. Like, hey, you like me? Okay, so when are you taking me out? Hey, you like me? So what's next? Like, I don't want to play. I'm getting old. Like, I don't have that much time left, though.
Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, some ladies, let me just say this. Let me interject for a second. I just think that even before you even go on a physical date, I think, for women in particular, should make a man work and earn that physical date. You shouldn't be too hasty and even, obliging him with a physical date. Work it out. Put some phone time in.
Exactly.
Ask him questions that way. Don't even give him a physical date that quick. Make him sweat.
I'm just kidding. It's all...
What did you say?
I said I will. I'll make him sweat, but I'm kidding. Okay.
Where your mind is,
so what else can we add to that list, Ms. Regina?
Basically, that's just, basically what I had as far as the, the first stages of a relationship and just going into, a relationship that you've been into for a year, basically the same thing, but just, wanting people to, Mr. King said, and pump your brakes because, especially around the holidays, it's time for family and people need to, just focus on that. And I know, you're probably just getting together, but those are just some of the do's and don'ts and the etiquette of dating around the holidays. But that's basically what I had to talk about.
Okay. Good.
I have a lot that I could take away from that topic.
Yeah. So do anyone want to add?
Around the holidays.
I'm sorry,
people
would you say?
They're gullible around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Doors be wide and open desperate. On the holidays.
Yeah.
Put yourself in some bad predicament.
Yeah.
That's true. I agree. So do anyone have anything else they want to add to that topic, Miss Regina's topic for the night? No?
Don't do it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. And then also it just depends on the components to the relationship. Yes, if we're talking about a couple of weeks, come on. We're not going to walk down the aisle in a couple of weeks. But I guess it just really depends
mm-hmm.
to each
Absolutely.
Individual situation.
Absolutely. So we got to.
But no,
on
I don't want
Vic.
Anything from Jared's in 2 weeks because you're probably going to snatch it back. I mean.
Well,
two
I
weeks.
Do. Give me everything from Jared's. Like, I'm kidding, but then again, I don't know. Like,
it's really not
so. Exactly. So we have Miss Vic up, and we're going to talk about your topic, which is getting married young.
Yes. The pros and cons of getting married young. And not an expert on many topics, but I can only really comment and talk about something that I've gone through. I'm 28 years old, a mom of four. I've been married since 18. very young. Been with my husband since 17, and actually the demise of our marriage has taken place. So we are going towards divorce. We got married in 2002. Just a quick synopsis. I met my husband working out with my Army recruiter. I was off to the military. Fell in love in a couple weeks. And after a couple months, we decided that we wanted to start a life. And, again, I was 17, turning 18, and just way too young. So looking back, this topic ties into Regina's topic very well. And this was not pre-planned, listeners. Trust me, we did not know each other's topics.
Yes, we didn't know this.
So, long story short, we got married, started our family. My husband was a broke college student, and I had no job, and we started building what we thought was our empire from there. The pros and cons. Pros of getting married young. I really couldn't come up with too many besides, you know, from a female point of view, you're more energetic. You seem to become more submissive, which I did. You start to establish your family, and that's pretty much all the pros I came up with looking back over the past 10 years. The four beautiful children that I get to walk away with is definitely an added bonus, definitely a blessing. The cons, okay. Well, there were many. marrying without maturity, that factor right there alone made me or can make an individual more dependent on their spouse, husband or wife, which it's a challenge when you immerse yourself into another individual because you deny your own identity and the maturity of your own identity. Also, just turning complete emotional and psychological control over to another individual is completely 100% unhealthy. In any stage of life, it's just unhealthy. Oh, did you have something? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. I was clearing my throat.
The next bullet I would like to bring up would be self-identification. If you're getting married at 18, who are you? Do you really know who you are? You're still a child, still a baby, stepping into a very adult role of being a wife or a mom or either. And then just the factors of misery and regret and maybe just the overwhelming effort of building a family. That's a lot of work at any stage of life. And at 18, it's paramount. It's a challenge. Also, the financial uncertainty. You know, most of us are not born with a silver spoon in our mouth. Most of us, you know, parents, they hadn't hit the lottery. So starting a family very young, there's a lot of financial uncertainty. You know, you're at that age where you should be just finding out how many credit hours you want to take in school, but trying to figure out how to provide for a family and keep a marriage intact, that's a big mountain to climb. The next point I would like to bring up is increased poverty and domestic abuse, how getting married young and having these very serious relationships increases the chance of domestic violence and child neglect and poverty situations. Not to mention, you know, not being able to equally bring something to the table. If both of you are in a dependent state upon parents, then how can you build your own empire if you're borrowing from another empire? And the most important stage is the missing stages of development that you should go through before you walk down the aisle. I went from high school to being a prospect for the United States military to being a wife and changing diapers. And I was pretty much still in a diaper. I don't really think I was in a diaper, but figurative speaking. But these are just, these are things, this is like more personal for me. So I can only comment from what I've experienced. You know, there's data to support. In the 90s, most women, you know, they married, the early 90s, they married. The most, I think the average marital age was like 23.9. For most men, it was 26.1. In 2007, it kind of went up to like 26 years of age for a woman and 27 years of age for a man. So that kind of showed the increase of people focusing more on education and establishing their foundation prior to walking down the aisle, which was something that early back in the day, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the focus wasn't, okay, let me take my SAT. What prestigious college do I want to get into? More of, okay, you're going to marry off, you're going to go live with Joe Blow, and you're going to be on a farm, and you're going to have 8 kids. And hey, times are different now. So,
please. I definitely can, you know, identify with that as well. I mean, I wasn't 18, but I was 21 when I got married too, and had like, you know, an instant family, so I could, you know, and you're right, you're still a baby. You know, and you experience the violence, you know, the domestic violence. You go through all, I mean, I experienced the same thing. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of cons to, you know, getting married at a very young age.
And I think all these years I've suppressed who I could be and who I am, you know, for the pleasing of another individual, and that's never healthy. It's never healthy when the person you're with never welcomes the person that's within you and the progress and the success that is just waiting to penetrate out. So when that's suppressed, that's a very dangerous state to be in.
Yeah. You lose who you are. You lose your identity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. So if being moms, you guys, being moms and being that you guys both were married at a young age, like what would you say overall to women out there or to parents out there that have young girls? Because, you know, growing up, every girl thinks of the picket fence and the cat, the dog, the perfect family thing, and everybody wants to be married. And, you know, they have like this fantasy world that we all live in as girls growing up. So what would you put out there to people?
One, there's
you know,
no such thing as a fantasy world. That's the first thing. Like, we see these depictions on TV of, you know, I Love Lucy at home in a poodle skirt with a lasagna for her husband when she opens the door. That's not real. And that's what I was hoodwinked to
skirt.
Believe. You know? Exactly. I'm taking it back to the 1940s. But just the whole ideology of behind marriage and this fictitious, you know, stereotype, you know, marriage nowadays, it requires really to stay above water and to have a comfortable lifestyle. Both parties have to work outside of the home, which means both parties should be responsible for the chores inside the home and the raising of the children. You know, I have a daughter, she's 2 and she's perfect. I have to give a shout out to Logan Victoria King and my 3 boys, Adonis, Ian and Micah. But I would tell her, find out who you are. You're going to school regardless. You know, marriage can wait. I think, Mr. King, you touched on and made some very intriguing points to Regina's topic. Why rush? Why rush something that's going to be there?
Exactly.
It's like a 7-Eleven. You know, it's quick and fast and in and out, but then that's the type of relationship it's going to be. You're going to check in and you're going to check out. You know, and I think this was my year of evolution. Like, I identified who I was, and that wasn't welcomed by my spouse. And unfortunately, again, that was the demise of our relationship. A lot of heartache and pain over time. But the entire time, if I had to look back, our relationship was very volatile the entire time. So, because we're 2 babies trying to pretend in this adult world.
Exactly. And I think that that's a good point, too, in reference to, you know, the marriage thing. Even back then when people were selling their daughters for property and whatever the heck, cows and chickens and stuff like that. Like, how do you expect a woman or a young woman to develop into herself completely when we are infused with just so many different things? You know, today at my age, I'm still like, oh, my God, do I want to do this? Oh, my God, do I want to do that? So imagine a child's frame of mind. you know. So I think that, you know, having daughters and stuff like that, like you said, just instilling those things into them, because once they get to a certain age, no matter how much we want to be good parents, how much we try to instill certain experiences, they still have to take their own journey ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just hard because, you know, you can't stop them forever unless, you know, you put her in a chastity belt forever. One that's one size fit all. So as she grow up, you know, she grows, that grows with her. But then it's like they hate you for it, and then they run out and do stuff crazy anyway. So it's just a really touchy topic, and I don't know. I don't have a daughter. I have a son, but I can't imagine him going out and getting married right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then again, I can because, you know, then he can leave and I have an extra bedroom. But, yeah. It's a different story.
I'm coming over. I got first dibs.
Absolutely. So, Ms. B, is anything you want to add to the topic? You kind of quiet.
Oh, I'm just listening. I'm listening. I have a question, though. Did you try to go to counseling before you decided
Okay. Yes and no. Yes and no. I've asked for counseling for years, but, you know, most men, this is stereotypical. This is not an African-American or a Latino thing. This is men in general, the gender of men. For the most part, it's not welcomed by men. I'm not going to have a stranger to tell me what to do that don't even know me. No, I ain't going. You know, and the whole concept about getting help and, you know, trying to nurse a abrasion or a wound before it becomes dead flesh and eats up everything. You want to jump on. The problem in marriages is we let things build up or we sweep them under a rug. Well, what happens when there's no more room for you to sweep dirt? Dirt starts to seep out. So oftentimes problems start to grow. They mature into something huge, but you have to jump on problems right from the beginning. And I did ask for counseling very young. Very young. I think maybe like the first year into our marriage, I realized, hey, you know, we need some help. But if help's not welcomed and one party's only willing to get help, that still doesn't help the unit together.
True.
Yes, to answer your question, yes, there was counseling that I welcomed and offered and asked for.
Okay, so if no one else has anything to say on that topic, we'll move over to Ms. B's topic, which is domestic violence.
Okay, I think that it's another controversial issue. It's such a serious topic that I even have to go through serious orientation and core training before becoming a volunteer for this organization. And during orientation, one thing that stuck with me was at the very beginning, when the lady in charge of the orientation asked us, why do you think women stay in an abusive relationship? The answer was because women are afraid that if they left, they would die. Exactly how she said it. And that line hit home because I felt like, well, damn, you know, women have no choice but to stay or else their lives will be taken away from them. Women should not have to worry about their safety when in a relationship. And according to American Psychiatric Association, domestic violence is defined as control by one partner over another in a dating, marital, or live-in relationship. Domestic violence occurs in every culture, country, and age group. It affects people from all socioeconomic, educational, and religious backgrounds and takes place in same-sex as well as heterosexual relationships. And another info based on National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, did you guys know that one in every four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime? An estimated 1.3 million women are victims of physical assault by an intimate partner each year. 85% of domestic violence victims are women. And historically, females have been most often victimized by someone that they knew. And females who are the age of 20 to 24 years are at the greatest risk of non-fatal intimate partner violence, and most cases are never reported to the police. And when women get in domestic violence relationships, they tend to have trust issues. They are scared of everything. They're paranoid about everything. But on the flip side, when they get into a sexual relationship, they enjoy it. Like, I know I've heard of choking. I hear that women that get abused, they they love the choking role until they almost pass out. It's like
okay.
the pain and pleasure literally.
Rough sex,
yes. I don't know if you guys have heard of choking, but I actually
heard
that before.
Dang,
and
that's like murder.
Headlocks and kicks?
No, not headlocks. Like, from what I understood, like the guy would just kind of grab the neck. Like
until they pass out.
Until almost they pass out.
Oh, God.
So I thought that was very, very interesting. And then, you know, on the other side as well, you know, they get bold. They get tough, you know, when they get into an argument, they'll be like, hit me, I dare you. Or they'll, like, bring up the past to get the argument, like, really going. So I feel like it's all about power and control, and I don't know, they get hit, and then they're afraid to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys have any thoughts on that before I move on? Because actually,
it's
you know what? Go ahead.
Domestic violence is a touchy one, real sensitive one. And the thing about domestic violence, my viewpoint on that, my stance has always been, when it gets to a point, you know, that a man is even considering putting his hands on a woman, it's time to leave.
That's for a rational
man.
Just
leave. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and most of these, you know, and I call them punks anyway and cowards. Because
mm-hmm.
most of the men that beat up on women would never even challenge another man.
Yep.
They just don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I actually know of two women. One of them, I would call her Ms. D. She was married for 15 years. They had 3 sons together. And I believe her family was aware that she was getting beat. But I just didn't know why they didn't or couldn't do anything about it. But,
you know why? Because that was a regular practice culture. She came, to me personally, and this is personal, we're creatures of habit, and that's a learned behavior. That's an accepted behavior. You know, why didn't the family intervene? Because that was not the first time a woman from that family had been hit. So it became the norm. It became acceptable. I grew up in a very broken home. My spouse grew up in a broken home. We come together in brokenness, and really before we got together, we should have had separate counseling. I should have been in counseling as a child because I watched my father, who was an alcoholic, beat my mom, and my mom actually ended up leaving the children behind us, my siblings and myself. And my spouse grew up in a domestic field and violent home. So this becomes almost the norm. Okay, you know what? They're in there fussing and fighting. It'll blow over in the morning. They'll be back talking.
Yeah.
Okay? It becomes normal.
Or is
just
it like
we go to the grocery store. I'm sorry?
Yes. No, I was going to say, like, is it one of those, okay, it's not my business, so I'm not going to get into it. This is, you know.
No, it's one of those things where, okay, this is typical of them. They do it, and they argue. It's Wednesday night. They argue, and you know what? They'll be back loving each other tomorrow, and it becomes accepted. That's an accepted behavior.
Exactly.
And I can only speak
and
personally.
And the conditioning.
Absolutely.
The victim becomes so conditioned to the normalcy of the violence, though. But, you know, let me bounce this at you ladies right now. You know, let's not get it twisted. A lot of women are beating up their men.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Absolutely.
Miss P, laughing.
What are you laughing at?
She's short or whatever, and she was just like picking on him, beating on him, like just taking advantage of him, like, because I guess she was bigger.
I'm
than
so
him.
Like not trying to crack jokes, but I know you guys have seen the movie Norbit. This happens every day. Seriously, I mean, there's a Respucia out there that's like beating up a Norbit. I mean, seriously.
Come on. I know society has a double standard because society turns the other cheek if the female is beating up the man. You know, it's not a big deal. It's still abuse.
Absolutely.
Well,
I think that's just a bias that society has created.
Right. I think it's just like a power trip and, you know, trying to control because, like, I think it was either Ms. Vick or Mr. Al saying that, you know, you come from an abusive relationship, so that's kind of like, quote unquote, in your blood. So you've seen either, you know, a parent hit the other parent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a learned
innate behavior.
Because,
absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
Behavior is infectious. Behavior is infectious. And these cycles become so redundant. And we pass them on and we pass them on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you have women, you know, and I concur with the prior statements about it. You have women, you know, that have been abused. They see nothing wrong with it. And then you have the men that, and let me just say this to the mothers, you know, on the panel, those that are also listening. And one thing I'm very sensitive about is mothers beating up on their sons.
Mm.
It makes them a
mm.
punk, and it makes them abusive in turn. You know,
absolutely.
as they grow older, they become very, very, very repulsive toward women and abusive toward women.
They do.
I hate to see mothers do that.
Off, you know?
Yeah, do that to their sons. They punk their sons to stay young. They make them into punks. And men start growing up, you know what I'm saying, fighting females.
This whole epidemic of abuse has to be stopped. Exactly. Absolutely. Abuse is just dangerous altogether. And until we get help, whether it's a spouse doing it or it's abuse towards a child, I think oftentimes in every community, because there is different levels of abuse, whether it's emotional, psychological, whether it's forcing a child to eat too much at the table, that's abuse. Okay?
Exactly.
When you make a buffet-style plate for a five-year-old and you say, you better eat every bit of it, that's abuse. So until we define, one, what is abuse on every level, and then an action plan to get help for it, because until it's highlighted and it's recognized as this is not the norm, this is not right, then you repeat that cycle, and it's acceptable. So, but I do agree. I definitely agree with you. Women putting their hands on little boys, their sons, or forcing them to be in the role of that absent father, that's abuse as well.
Yeah.
And one more story,
that's a big epidemic and a big plague. You know, a lot of times, you know, women, you know, they take away the man in a little boy before it's even developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It's snatched away. And you know,
childhood
probably
is
have
snatched
a lot of
away
men today wearing onesies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. A lot of men are wearing onesies and spandex instead of men.
There you go with those onesies again.
Okay.
Hilarious. What you were saying, Miss B?
I was saying, like, with the women, like, you have to admit the fact that you are in an abusive relationship. I know this girl, she's a college student, and, you know, she was all happy talking about her relationship, that her relationship is good. But when we got on a text conversation, that's when she came clean and said that she was getting abused. And I'm like, why are you still in a relationship? Why are you not doing anything about it? And you know what she said to me? She said because he helped her pay her rent. I was like, well, that's your thing for
wow.
I was like, I've got to be kidding me. And then she was like, no, I'm staying with him because this and that, blah, blah, blah. And she used to tell me how he would, what do you call it? Like, he would not compliment her. He would tell her, oh, you're fat and ugly. I'm the only one who's going to be with you because I'm the only one who's going to take you, this and that. And I'm just like, do you even know what you're doing? Do you even know what your value is anymore?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. Because it's psychological control.
Right, and yeah. And I was just, like, so disturbed by the conversation that I didn't even want to talk to her anymore. I was like, obviously you don't want help. Obviously,
because eventually she's going to start to believe that.
She's
going to believe that she's not worth anything.
That's crazy.
Yet she's still staying in the relationship. So I can't, it's hard to respect a woman like that. You know, if you're in a relationship and it's abusive and you actually want to find a way out, I will have a lot of respect for you because you're admitting that you need help and you're scared. But if you're a woman and you're getting hit and you're staying because, who cares if he's helping you out with rent?
But, Miss B, that's where people like you come in to advocate, because I'm telling you, you know, it's very easy to pass judgment. But when you have – that's when we're talking about, like, intelligence and military control, the first way to get into anyone's head or to have complete control over someone is psychological control. That's the first, and then emotional, and then physical control. But when you actually, like, there are individuals that are 90 pounds that look in the mirror and they really do see someone that's 500 pounds. The mind is one of the most powerful organisms in the body. It is. And so She does think she's fat. And, yes, it wasn't about paying the rent. It was about he told her no one else is going to love you. So that's the isolation process. And then she starts to believe, well, let me cut myself off from my family because he's the only one that really cares. He paid my rent. I would have a roof over my head if it were not for him.
Exactly
I would be in a shelter and on the street if it were not for him.
Exactly.
So, psychological control.
Every woman wants security, though.
Absolutely.
You know, a man can provide some security, even if it comes with pain. Women going, she's going to turn another cheek. You know
and
what?
That's a predator. And that predator knows that.
Right.
He knows that. And he's going to use that to his advantage.
He's going to manipulate that.
Yeah.
We have a comment from the chat room. We have a comment from the chat room from T. Weston Reed. She said that a woman just was arrested the other day for beating up her man because he was unable to please her sexually.
I'm glad she was arrested. I'm glad she was locked up. That was too much. What did she want him to do, choke her?
I was trying to read it without laughing, but I'm silly, so.
It's stupid, you were easily amused.
Exactly. It is true, though, because I just saw that headline on AOL when I was signing into AOL that the woman was arrested because the husband couldn't give her what she wanted. So he just beat him down.
That's awful. I mean, what did she want him to do, choke her until she passed out?
I mean,
that's not cool.
I think that some people, you know, like goes back to Miss Regina's topic on, you know, not knowing a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never really know what's going on in someone's head. I don't care who you are and how good you got it.
One day
you can think that the world is everything and a person just snaps out on you and you like, I've never seen that side or him or her before, not knowing that they suffer from mental conditions and everything else. They probably don't even know they're suffering from serious problems in their head. So today she probably woke up and was like, hey, I want you to take a pole and stick it through my back, whatever she wanted to do. She couldn't put that pole through her back. And she just was like, no, and just started going crazy on him. So hands off. You know, hands off, you know, that's not commendable behavior, but,
no,
you know, at
not.
The same time, I appreciate him being able to have survive it and call the cops on him because I would have been doing the same thing. I'm pressing charges because I can't give her no nookie. She wants to beat me down. No, I'm out of here. So,
like, you don't have to, I mean, come on, like, we're being intimate. You don't have to get, like, a jackhammer and go upside my head. I mean, really?
Right. Maybe she likes rough sex and he doesn't know that. So maybe she wants something that's, you know, she's not getting from him and she doesn't know how to express it. So she just
I don't think he's going to trust her anymore. I don't think he wants to be intimate with her anymore. Like, she's locked up.
Anybody.
That's a sign the relationship is over.
Exactly.
Probably with her right now. Rubbing our feet.
Yeah, that makeup set.
That, unfortunately, domestic violence does happen every day and to anybody, and it shouldn't. So if
absolutely.
But
Miss B, I want to say thank you for what you do and being an advocate against domestic violence. That's something that I actually looked into and just reached out to the Women's Commission myself personally. But hats off to people like you that actually advocate against it. But please know that what you do is missionary work because it's a life that you're saving. And, you know, organizations like the Women's Commission and the domestic violence organizations, these things were not around 30 and 50 years ago.
And speaking of, there's, you know, plenty of resources available. There's a hotline number you can reach. So if at first, like, you don't feel comfortable talking to a family member or a close friend, call the hotline number. And then, you know, there are shelters you can go to when you finally have the courage to leave and realize that your life is important, especially when kids are involved.
Yep.
Absolutely.
As a woman, be strong enough to stand up for yourself. Don't be a victim of domestic violence. And if anything, your significant other shouldn't bring out the worst in you, but the best. So.
Absolutely, I agree. And the last thing I was going to just kind of add to that, like, you know, I'm a licensed cosmetologist, and part of my services back then were doing people's hair from the drug program and from the battered women shelters. And I just wanted to say that I did their hair for free. So this is kind of their this is their little steps towards feeling good about themselves. So as they were trying to get back into the work field and get reestablish their lives and stuff of that nature, I told them, hey, listen, bring me a pay stub every time you get paid. And if you're working still and doing what you have to do, I'll do your hair for free. Mm-hmm. To have women.
To you, see?
to have women, thank you, to have women that you've been around and growing up in a domestic violence family, a house of domestic violence, I totally reached out because I felt like when like we all were saying, that your identity is taken away from you when you're belittled or whatever it is, the control of the mind. The mind is a serious organism, like Ms. Vick said. And once it's manipulated the right way, you can lose yourself instantly when you think you have it all. So to see these women just get their hair done and just have this confidence, because us as women that's on this panel know that when you get something new, you feel sexy. When you get your hair done, your nails done, you feel like you on it. These women are so destroyed by just combing their hair, telling them that, you know, this color would be beautiful on them. It meant a lot to them. So it's just
something
a little thing.
Not
sometimes
used to.
You get,
exactly.
Yeah, sometimes it's like you want to give up on people that aren't being receptive to what you're trying to tell them, but never give up, because one day you don't know how that small push that day will push them in the right direction. So hats off to you, Ms. B, for, you know, advocating it again and, you know, being proactive in, on that topic where people try to shy away from it.
Exactly.
So
yes.
Anybody else
want to
add to that?
Too, I just wanted to say thank you also, because I am a domestic survivor. So to hear that, you know, you're deeply and passionately involved in that says a lot about you. So hats off to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have Mr. King now, and he's going to be talking about self-investment.
Yeah, I want to, yeah, I definitely, you know, I definitely had to touch on this with self-investment, though. And I'm going to just start by just saying, you know, you become your investment. And most of the time we just pretty much divert our energy and our focus to outside entities, you know, first, and then worry about ourselves afterwards. So, you know, a lot of people, I've seen this, you know, in my quest over and over and over, you know, where people don't take the time to invest in themselves. And the question may be, what is investing in myself? Your health, your focus, your career, strengthening your weaknesses. We may have day jobs, but you forget about your own vision.
Mm-hmm.
While we're empowering someone else's vision, we forget about our own and creating our own. You know, so I'm very adamant about a person investing in themselves, and strong relationships are, you know, I just want to say this as well, I'll just jump this in real quick. Strong relationships are contingent on strong personal relationships with yourself. So a lot of people suck at relationships because they don't even know how to treat themselves. They really don't.
That is a very compelling point. I like that.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's deep.
Very deep.
Yeah. So we sometimes neglect our own further development, again, by investing in outside entities first and not ourselves first. So that's my opening on that right there. Self-investment, key, it's imperative, you know, and it's a necessity. So realizing and understanding your importance will help you in defining your purpose. So self-investment.
Mm-hmm.
Finding your purpose and surmounting the big and better things. The goal should be to be a better person, to be a bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, lady? What do you think?
Yeah. Can I just add that I think that honestly, and, you know, self-investment and knowing yourself is huge right now for me. And I just personally feel like to attain, like, your true inner feelings, you know, one must be able to objectively, like, watch your problems. And when I say watch your problems, it's like instead of getting lost in them, because you're going to continuously always have problems, and there's no solution can possibly exist if you lost in the energy of your problem. You can't think straight. So everyone knows, like, you can't deal with a situation if you're getting anxious, if you're getting scared or angry, or you can't deal with the situation if you don't know how to just take the time to just look at it. So the first problem you have to deal with in self-investment, in my mind, is you have to own your reaction.
Mm.
You know, like you said, you have to be able to
not get lost in that whole monotony of being everything for everyone else, but being more for yourself, and not in a selfish way.
Yeah.
So when you get clear enough, you know, you will realize, or one will realize, that the real problem is that there is something inside of you that has a problem with almost anything because you're not clear. So you have to take the proper steps of first of, like, just finding out really what do you want for yourself and with your self-investment. And then that's the only way people will be able to invest properly. Because
absolutely.
Everybody says that they want to do this success, they want this, they want that, and you're jumping from one thing to the next. And the reason why projects don't ever come full circle is because you're not clear on your investment in yourself.
Because people don't, you know, and the thing is that people don't see themselves important enough to take the time and invest in themselves. It may sound easy. But
well, and then
not,
a lot of that comes from childhood as well. A lot of that comes from childhood. You know, I mean, I'm the type of mom, like, I constantly encourage my children, constantly tell them. And I think oftentimes in minority communities, our children feel the sense of neglect when they grow up. Basically, you know, our young girls or our young boys not being told constantly on a daily basis, you know what, you're so intelligent, you're smart, you're going to be something in life. That's why, again, they idolize athletes or rappers. Not anything against those individuals, but why can't we idolize scholars and professors and doctors and lawyers? I think, you know, oftentimes when you have a sense of, okay, what really is value? When you grow up not valuing yourself as a child, like, hey, you know, my mom told me I could ace this algebra test, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. You know, our children don't have that on a daily basis. Children require a daily encouragement, daily building their character, self-esteem, and their confidence, because if they don't, they're going to go to school, and, of course, they're going to be bullied and pushed up against the lockers, everything we've seen over history, and then they're going to actually check out. So at 16, you know what? I'm not feeling school. I'm out. And that's why. That's why. So it starts very young.
Sorry to cut you off, but reverse psychology doesn't work either. You know what I mean? Like, if, let's say, I don't know, I know someone, like a parent would be like, you're not good at anything. You're going to be a low life for the rest of your life. Like, that's not encouragement.
Oh, I've seen so many situations like that. Ooh, that's so disgusting.
It is.
Because it's like you're already down, and then someone that's supposed to care for you is helping you bring you down. So it's really
destroy their morale, their objective, you know,
their
person, their everything.
And once again, this is
a parents fail to realize is that your children are a reflection of you.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Kids grow up, and the parents actually are disappointed at their children that they created and developed.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents are very good at wanting to take credit for the good things in their children.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they hit some bumps, they don't want to own up to that.
Mm-hmm.
They think that those things just happen, like they're insinuating circumstances, they just fell out of the sky. But you produce those blunders as well. That's what parents don't understand.
Most of the time, those very parents have been raised that way. They've been raised that way. They're low lives.
Exactly.
You know, the history repeats itself. So once again, we have to get help.
Right.
We have to get help. You know, it is.
But what
it
about,
is. And until
but
that
what,
cycle is broken, it's just going to repeat
about
itself.
What about being, you know, things happen to people. And I'm not excusing any actions that correlate with, you know, your development from childhood. But when does it come to a point where you have to say to yourself, like, that happened to me and now it's done? And it's not going to happen to me again. When are we as people going to take control of what you can control? Not the things that you couldn't as a child. Are you going to go the rest of your life blaming your parent for calling you stupid? You can, but why?
Yeah.
Because you, what do you get through that?
Yeah, that's an individual basis because everyone has a different aha moment. But when you know better, you do better, okay? And then the accountability falls on you. So most oftentimes we know that, okay, hey, my mom, you know, did this and smacked me around. That doesn't mean I have to do it to my child. So, I mean, it's just ownership.
There's a purpose. There's a reason for everything. I don't think we ever, Ms. T, I just want to answer that. I just think that we don't ever outgrow that factor, that variable. I think that we just need to identify with the fact that these things did transpire, and we need to work past those things to break those cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us do carry on these lifelong deficiencies. But we should be working to be better people and move toward strengthening these areas. Let me just say this, for example, when it comes to women, the lack of a father in her life, when she goes into relationships and she begins to come into her own, sometimes a man never becomes a spouse. He spends a large amount of time being a supplement for the father, being a father figure that she never had. And as a man, you accrue that burden. And that's what happens in a lot of relationships. A lot of relationships don't last for that simple reason, because you never had an opportunity to be a spouse. You spent a lot of time picking up where he left off, where the father left off. You know, you as the spouse, supposed to be the spouse, are responsible for that development that she didn't get. So you're picking up where, if he was never around and never in her life, that's all on you, baby. And that's what happens. You know, I've been in positions with women. It may have been simple things as her getting her menstrual and knowing how to take that napkin and not leave it on the kitchen sink.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
The bathroom sink.
And no, I was about to say, what the heck? I'm not eating over there for Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't mean to say kitchen sink.
What?
I'm thinking about food right now. I didn't mean to say.
Yuck.
I meant to say bathroom sink. But, you know, just an example of that development that she never received.
Mm-hmm.
So
but,
I've been in positions like that with women.
Right. But I just feel like overall, you know, it has some truth in it, but it doesn't have to be your reality, like your life. You have to take a break. You have to take a break. You break the habit of thinking that the solution is, you know, to the problem is to rearrange things outside. The only permanent solution to anybody's problem is to go inside and let go of that part of you that seems to have so many problems with the reality of what the situation was.
Which
so
requires
once you
help.
Do that, right. Once you do that, you'll be clear enough to deal with all the things that's left inside of you.
I agree. Totally agree with that. Absolutely.
That's why it's important and imperative about investing in ourselves, because unfortunately a lot of us feel that we're perfect, that we have no flaws, we have no deficiencies, we're good, and it's, everything is wrong with everyone else but ourselves. So
no, I am a project.
We all in the construction. Someone that understands that they want to be a better person, they're going to look within and say, you know what, let me make an honest assessment where I am, and let me work on these things that I need to work on just so I can be a better person and be the best that I can be. I've been around some people as of late that are a hot mess, but they really believe that there's nothing wrong with them. A hot, sizzling mess. You know, and I'm going to just say this for myself, being transparent. You know, about a year ago, I was at a point where, you know, you work, you're running around, you're grinding. I was gaining weight. I had got to a point where I was 320 pounds, and I'm not a small guy. So I didn't look crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm 6'5", so I'm about 320 pounds. I'm looking like a bouncer. You know what I'm saying? So I gained all this weight. So I'm like, hold on, my body is not feeling right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I reached a point and I said, I have to do something about this. So immediately I said, I have to invest in myself. Now I'm investing in other things outside of myself, but I'm forgetting about Al. So I went and I detoxed my body, went on an herbal detox, all natural, and I started working out. So I've lost about 50 pounds in a year.
Yay!
So I went from a 5.
Congratulations!
And the thing is that I went from wearing 5 and 6 X's to 2 and 3 X's.
Amazing!
So
hats off to you.
I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. So you know,
Mr. King,
I want to
ask you a question.
I have to invest in myself. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that time frame that you tried to start bettering yourself, did you have a spouse or did you have a mate? And did they welcome your change?
Yes.
Okay, because oftentimes I know, you know, when we try to better ourselves and we lose the weight, that, you know, it's like, okay, well, who are you trying to, you know, pick up? Or really, you're trying to lose weight? You know, so did you experience any of the negativity when you tried to better yourself?
Not at all. No negativity.
Okay.
All support.
Great.
All support.
Awesome.
Because I, you know, I feel that you may have some successes. What I call is surface success, where to the world it looks like you have everything going on, and then behind the scenes everything is a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel good inside. You know, you may not want to go home because where you live, you don't really want to be there. You know, and it's not where you at, it's where you want to be. So that may be a reality that you're dealing with. But to the world, on the surface, everything seems perfect. And it's not. So when you rip those layers and you start to dig in yourself and you say, hold on, I got some work to do here. Let me get this right. And that's what it's about. You got to get inside yourself and invest in yourself. And again, just to point out some of those variables again, your health, your focus, because some of us believe that we're focused. And like Ms. P has stated, some people believe that they really want all this success, they want this and they want that, but their methods in getting it are losing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So their focus is not really focus. It's really a distraction. So they're investing in everything that's distractive. So that's it. That's the problem with people. And then a lot of us, focus is not there. You're not focusing. You're not investing in any kind of career. You know, you're investing in your weaknesses and not your strengths the wrong way. So you have to really go in, you know, and get into yourself and say, you know what, I got to do something better. I got to do something different. So I could be the best.
Absolutely.
I could be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, if anyone wants to dial in, now would be the time, 818-495-6975, and you can just comment on any of our topics or ask any questions that you want. If you have any questions in the chat room and you're a little shy to call in, then please take the time to type them out now so I can go ahead and let our panel know what you guys are saying. I just want to say to the panel that the lines lit up, and there's people in the chat room coming and going, but they're coming. And, yeah, it's just good times. Right now, it's good times. T. Wesson says in the chat room, I think another reason why women are afraid of leaving abusive relationships is because they fear that they will receive adequate protection from the authorities once they do. I don't know.
What was the statement?
She says, I think another reason why women are afraid of leaving abusive relationships is because they fear they will not receive adequate protection from the authorities once they do.
Oh, yeah, I definitely believe that. I would agree, especially when it's a volatile relationship where they're fearful. Yeah.
I think I think overall security.
Yeah, and that would be security, being protected.
Definitely.
For sure.
Because that piece of paper is not protecting you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it takes a lot of work to get that piece of paper.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, you could have a black eye, but you have to prove that black eye came from, even if it was a series of police calls, which is personal. But like I said, you know, oftentimes it's hard to get that piece of paper. It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it never, like, it's always surprised me, I should say. Like, even with my mom, when my mom and my dad used to, you know, my dad used to fight my mother, and the cops were called from the neighbors, my mom never let them take him. And it always amazed me. So, you know, speaking on the part of the authority thing, I don't know so much if it was my mom was worried about the police were to protect her, but it was just she felt that she felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
She felt bad, like, and because he's like, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is, you know, you letting them take me, and that alone would make her say, no, don't take him, you know what I mean? So
Right.
I don't know. Like, there probably are times where the police can help you, but
yes,
it's like,
they should,
do you really
because
allow
when they're in
them
that
to
uniform,
help you?
When they're in that uniform, they have a civil duty to uphold. They have a job to function in. And they're supposed to, if there is probable cause to believe that that man has hit that woman, whether there is, I mean, he should be able to look at the body language. He should be able to look at the environment. He or she, excuse me, not trying to leave out the female officers. But they have the duty to assess that situation. And I don't care what Sally says. Oh, I love Joseph. Please keep him. Keep Johnny. Keep Jason here. No. Take him. If you believe, because the moment you don't, that could be that child's last night on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, cops, I'm sorry. I understand, you know, hey, I don't take my man. No, if he's hit you, you called us out here, and you look fearful, and you have some scratches or some marks or bruising on you, he's going. I'm sorry. Or
he's
she
going.
Is going.
Exactly.
I said she.
I know every sense. OJ, they're not playing with a domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. It's not funny,
but...
What are you laughing at, Missy?
No, I'm saying it's not funny because he said OJ, and two people lost their lives, you know, so I giggled because of OJ, just thinking about, you know, his craziness, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're not playing with that no more. So police, as soon as they show up on the set and there's a man involved, you out. They're taking you or whatever.
Oh, they'll take both of you nowadays. They will take both of you nowadays.
They're not playing with that.
And I think the reason why they're probably taking both people so they won't get called again later on in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care if
you know, because sometimes the cops used to come to my house 2 or 3, 4 times a day. And,
yeah,
you know, if that ever was to happen in this life right now, I think that, you know, they would just arrest my mom, too. Just to save them the phone call of coming, the gas money. So take them both. Forget it.
Exactly.
You know? So I don't know if it's really.
Back in the days, it's different. Back in the days, it's different. You know, women ideas are different. They get beat up by their men and not tell on them.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was a lot of that going on in old school. My mother and my father used to dump it out in the house. But my mother was a tough cookie. She might be listening to the show right now. My mother was a tough cookie. You know what I'm saying?
Hi, Mom.
My father wasn't running over my mother. My mother was picking up everything first.
She was picking up everything first.
Yeah.
She better work it out. Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't condone that. But, yeah. But it's good to hear that, you know, it's not good to hear, but, I mean, I guess because I grew up in an abusive household. So to hear that a woman is, like, tired of it right now and fighting back, like, I'm with that. You know, you're going to have to take me down. I'm not a fighter, but you're definitely going to have to kill me because I don't,
remember
you know,
that,
I've never
been
in a position.
Y'all remember that movie, The Burning Bed?
Yes,
what movie?
I do. That was my favorite movie, The Burning Bed.
What's the name?
The Burning Bed.
No.
Wasn't that Jodie Foster? Who the heck was that lady? I forget.
Sarah Fawcett.
Sarah Fawcett.
Yeah.
Mhm. Sarah Fawcett. Excellent movie. Excellent. Loved it. It's a true story.
Yeah.
Take them down. No, I'm just kidding. But if anyone has anything to say, please dial in now. We're wrapping up the show, 818-495-6975. Any takers? Like I said, all the lines are lit up and no one wants to talk to us, but the fact remains it's okay because the panel will be on once a month going forward.
Yay.
So if anyone has anything they want to add before I have you guys, you know, tell everyone that's just tuned in where they can find you again. You want to add anything, anybody, before we go?
Yeah, I do. I want to digress for a second real quick. Let me jump in 1 second on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
On, what was that, getting married young. I thought about it as we were talking. I didn't want to rewind in. But with the getting married young, I think you ladies made some excellent points.
Uh-huh.
Excellent points. The upside to that, and I just want to add, is that I would rather see a young husband and wife than a young baby mother and baby father.
Of course, yeah. I would agree.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what I
Definitely.
Wanted to add.
But at the same time, let me add, because I have to counter respond and add a statement. Most of the time, when you have young couples that decide to get married, it's because of a pregnancy or a child, if you will look. And I have always been like an advocate for young marriage. Hey, I'm young. You know, get married while you're young. Again, I'm 28 now compared to 10 years ago. And I don't think you should marry because of children.
You sound
now,
so
I would have never said that a year and a half ago.
Exactly.
She does.
I would have never said that a year and a half ago. And I just got to be truthful and transparent. I would have
you
never said that a year and a half ago.
No pun intended. You sound 58.
Do I? Wow.
And it's experience. It's experience. It's not about,
yes.
You know, you
yeah.
look it or you are it. It's just experience.
I'm old head.
Okay. Grandmother. Her wisdom.
Yes.
She sounds like a grandmother.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm an old head.
Old
I am an old head.
Yeah,
but seriously,
old.
You know, I mean,
like
I wouldn't
Sunday,
say that you...
The Staples thing is playing on Sunday. You sound real old school. Old soul.
That's funny.
I love you.
Me
I was
too.
Actually
Beautiful.
Raised... I have a lot of older friends that are usually 10 years older than me, but I was raised by an elderly group of individuals, and I'm glad that I was able to capitalize off of their knowledge.
You don't sound
better.
You don't sound
no,
better.
I'm not. Nope, not at all.
That's beautiful. That's why I wanted you here, because of your intellect and your insight. So I'm grateful. Each and every one of you is just a blessing to me, and I wouldn't have had a better group of people ever.
Thank you.
I would have waited for this until I had awesomeness like you guys. So I'm definitely thrilled that we were able to come together and voice our opinions and be objective and, you know, not, you know, kill each other for our opinions, you know, because these type of things can get out of hand. But I'm glad that we were able to converse and everyone was able to, you know, gain from listening and not a yelling match. So I know I have the right group of people on this. So thank you guys so much. I'm going to start again in rotation so everybody can tell the listeners that tuned in after we had gave a little roll call. We're going to start with Ms. Vic again. Tell everybody about your business and where they can follow you to stay in tune.
Yes, my name is Vic King. I am the founder and owner of A Mommy's Fair Hand, which is a professional concierge service. We provide event planning. We provide personal and administrative assisting, professional assisting. Anytime, anything you need done, please give us a 24-hour notice, and we're there. We want to be mobile and open up this eventually to all 50 states, but we're in the planning stages right now, starting small and growing big. My number, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, is 704-975-9758. My website is amommiesfairhand.vpweb. You can find me on LinkedIn at Vic King, excuse me. I'm on Facebook at A Mommy's Spare Hand page, and also on Twitter at VictoriaKing11. Thank you so much for all of my supporters, all the followers, people that's been tweeting me. We appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. I just want to say to all of the panel members, I have walked away with learning something that I can take. Thank you, Ms. B, for your advocacy against domestic violence. Ms. Regina, thank you for being so transparent and honest. And Mr. King, thank you for just being really open and candid with us. I've learned something from each of you. And thank you, Ms. P, for this wonderful opportunity and platform you've given us.
Thank you. And you didn't even thank me for laughing so much. But anyway,
I love
okay.
your laugh.
I'm just kidding.
That's really cool. You have like a cool laugh.
I'm just messing with you. So, Ms. B, can you tell us a little bit about you and your business again?
Yes. This is Ms. B. You can find me on Twitter at Ms. East Coast B. I am the Vice President of Dama Models of Vulnerable Production and Photography Booking Agent of Jumadi Photography. And that is pretty much it. Originally from New York, residing in Florida.
Absolutely. Mr. King?
And this is Al King. I am the CEO of Go Getters Publication. And I need everybody to go get my book, Let It Be Known, the Al King point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing really good on the book, but I need to do great. And my website is thealkingpointofview.com. My Twitter handle is at Mr. Al King. I'm also on LinkedIn, Mr. Al King. Facebook, Mr. Al King. Ms. P, ladies, I love you all. I appreciate the energy, all the insight, and the vibe. And all the listeners out there, thank you for the support. And looking forward to the panel discussions every month.
Absolutely.
We love you,
Regina,
too.
Exactly. I love you. Miss Regina Renee?
Yes. I'm Regina Renee. I am the artist manager of the beautiful Miss Butterfly. I'm also the manager of DJ Showtime with the official core DJs. You can find me on Twitter at Regina Renee. That's R-E-G-I-N-A-R-E-N-E-E. You can also find me on Facebook, Regina Renee, the Boss Set. I just would like to say that it's been a pleasure talking with my fellow panelists. I really enjoyed myself. And to all the followers and listeners out there, thank you for your support as well. And Ms. P, I love you. Thank you for everything. I just like to say happy holidays to everyone. Be safe. And I look forward to many more panel discussions.
Absolutely. I love you all immensely.
Hold on. I just wanted,
and
I just wanted to say thank you to appreciate you.
Yeah. No problem. I love you all immensely, and I thank you all for your contributions and being part of the panel, sharing your insight, your intellect, your skills, your expertise on the show. And like I said again, I couldn't do this without any of you amazing babies. So I'll see you guys on Twitter in like 5. Yeah, have a good rest of the weekend, okay, ladies and gentlemen?
Guys.
I will talk
have
to you guys
weekend.
Soon.
Bye.
Good night. Bye. Good night. Yes. So that was the panel, guys. Miss Regina Renee, Mr. King, Miss B, and Miss Vic. I love them all. So make sure you guys are following them on Twitter. Be sure to get Let It Be Known by Mr. Al King. Definitely hit up Miss B if you're a model in Florida, or just hit her up for some insights. She's very receptive. Also, check out Miss Regina Renee. And, you know, she's not taking clients right now, but hopefully in the new year, we cross our fingers, she will be. She's amazing. Every last person that was on the show is amazing, and that's why they're here. So I thank you guys. If you were tuned in for the first time, I hope it's not your last. And for those who continuously support the Intune show and all the things that we do, we want to thank you for everything. You will be able to find the panel members on the website. They're definitely being added on there one by one. And you'll get to be able to reference them in the times that our shows will be on for the next panel. So until tomorrow, babies, you guys have a good night and stay in tuned.
I'm in tune. 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 I'm about to take it to the moon. Let's go. I'm in tune. 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 I'm about to take it to the moon. Let's go. Just tune in. Let's count it down from 10. I make 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let this go again. With a pretty light skin, diva name Miss P. Shout it, keep it off the meter. Just as fly. I rep that ratchet third, TV down that other level, nothing like the mother bird.
Not at all.
What you ain't heard, then tune in.
BlogSpotRadio.com,
let's begin. Any topic, drop it, gone, spark the conversation. Every show is all love, ain't no room for all that.